Today, I have the privilege of introducing our speakers. We have Kendra White, a member of the Consecrated class, and Zach Shaner, a member of the Unashamed class, my class. Now, when I was asked to introduce Zach and Kendra, I was like, yes, I'll do that, because Kendra White is not only my cousin, but she's also my roommate, so I have some things I want to tell you about her. No, just kidding. But I will tell you that ever since we were kids, she's had this really weird obsession with the name Annie, and I don't really get it, but we got this doll from our, we each got a doll from our great-grandmother, and she named hers Annie. She got dolls throughout her childhood, stuffed animals, named everything Annie. She gets a dog. Guess what she names it? Nope, Toby, but she had a cat named Annie. So Annie's everywhere. I don't really get it, but I know Kendra as my cousin and a lover of the name Annie, but you might know her as class president, seniors, that's you. She was your chaplain last year. You might know her from the tumbling team. She's done it for 3 years. She was captain last year. You might know her as a fellow Will Moron. She's right here. You might know her from the plays she's been in on campus. She's been in Sophomore Musical. She's been in Rumors. She's been in Exit the Body. You might know her as a media commer or her other major, because she has two, theater and cinema performance. You might know her from that. More specifically, you might know her from Beijing. That's what she's going to talk about today. She went and worked on the Olympics. So basically, I don't really know how you know Kendra, but I know her as my cousin. Now, Zach Shaner is our other speaker, and Zach Shaner, what a guy. Sophomore year, I come out of the student center, and I hear four, and I'm thinking to myself, who golfs in the middle of Asbury's campus? Like, who does that? And then all of a sudden, Zach runs by, and I'm like, yeah, Zach does that. So anyway, Zach wasn't golfing. Zach was bagel golfing. And for those of you who don't know what bagel golf is, because I don't know what it is because Zach made it up, he was like, basically, Kara, all you need to find is crusty bakery items, bagels work best. And then you follow him around campus and he points to random things like tree by Fletcher Early, par 3. And then you just throw the bagels. And anyway, really entertaining, entertained him and his buddies for like an entire day. So anyway, I know Zach as the best bagel golfer in the world, but you might know him as your RA if you live on the family. You might know him as an ambassador. Some of you might be here because of Zach. You might know him as a fellow Indianan. He's from Anderson, Indiana. You might know him as a member of the pump. He serves as the physical fitness officer for the pump. You might know him as a youth ministry major or a leadership minor. You might know him as a percussionist. He leads worship for the Global Cafe, and he's been up here a couple times leading worship for us. So basically, Kendra and Zach are such fun, creative, talented, involved people that we all know them in different ways. However, I'm confident that we all know them as the same people. And when I say that, I don't mean that Kendra and Zach are the same people, because they're not, but they are kind of similar, and they have common interests, and, you know, they both love the Lord, and they're pretty good looking, and I don't know, I think it would work, guys. You're both single. Hey, you never know. But anyway, when I say that we all know them as the same people, I mean that they are consistent people. The Zach I know is the Zach you know, and the Kendra that went to Beijing over the summer is the Kendra that we all know from campus. The way they treat their families is the same way they treat their friends, the same way they treat faculty, the same way they treat their professors and everyone else. And their good relationship with us reflects their good relationship with God. They consistently let him work in and through them, and they seek his will and calling in everything they do. And I look forward to what they have to say to us today. Zach?
There's a girl named Rachel, and Rachel is most like us. She's involved in youth group, a leader on her youth group campus. And when she was 16, she went to a retreat, like many of us have gone on. And she heard the speaker challenging them to live a life dedicated to Christ, and not just in the youth group, but also in school. And Rachel decided that she was going to start carrying her Bible to school every day and sit with the kids that sat by themselves in the lunchroom. And so she was 16 years old when she decided to do this, and she started doing that. And She realized the exact opposite reaction that she thought was going to happen. She found that her Christian friends were the ones that were kind of neglecting her and kind of making fun of her for doing that and not sitting with them. So she went home to her dad, and she was like, "Dad, you know, this is a lot tougher than I thought it was going to be." And her dad grabbed a cup and put dirt in it and then placed a seed inside the dirt. And she said, or he said, "Rachel, you're focusing on the dirt. And what you need to do is you need to focus on the seed inside the dirt." And that day, Rachel decided to focus on the seed. And for the next year, she lived that way. And almost exactly a year later, on April 20th, 1999, one afternoon, she went out of the lunch room with a friend, and they were just eating lunch, just talking. And, you know, I could imagine that she was probably there having a good, serious conversation. But who knows what. And two young boys at the high school, decided that day that they would bomb the school. And they ran down the hill, armed with weapons, and unloaded fire on Rachel and her friend. And she got four shots, one shot, a deadly wound to the head, and died that day. The first of 12 victims and one teacher at Columbine High School that we know so well back in 1999. And her life was in memory of focusing on the seed and the dirt and not the dirt. And what's your focus? I was asked to speak on that today and speak, you know, get focused. And I was thinking, what does that mean in my life? What does that mean for me to be focused on God? This semester, it's my busiest semester by far, and I've got so many things going on. And what does it mean in my life to, in spite of the busyness, to stay focused on Christ and just stay focused on my walk with God? I like, if you brought your Bible, to turn to Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8, it says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." I'd like to share two things with you about what it means in my life to be focused on God. And the first is from this verse. It's focus your mind. It's like the whole idea of garbage in, garbage out. What I fill my mind with often comes out in my words and actions. And sometimes not even in my words and actions. First, what I fill in my mind comes out in my thoughts, and later maybe my words and actions. And so, you know, I need to examine what I'm filling my mind with through the TV shows that I watch and the movies that I watch and the music that I listen to, even the conversations that I have and what those are talking about, and also magazines as well. And what am I filling my mind with, and how does that affect me? And just as you can fill your mind with corruptful things, as I know, that you can also fill them with wholesome things. You can switch it around. And for me, this is like, you know, reading God's word and filling my mind with his words. And also, through the conversations that I have, I can have wholesome, pure conversations with people that really help me to focus my mind on Christ. And as well as the music that I listen to and even books that I read. And Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll be able to test and approve God's will, his good and perfect and pleasing will." And it's just that whole thing of renewing my mind and getting my mind focused on Christ, and that it all starts with the things that I put into my mind. And so that's the first thing, what it means to me to focus on God. And the second is I need to focus my life. And so go back to Philippians 4 and look at verse 9. It says, "Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you." And, you know, it's that idea of what you've learned put into practice. I've grown up going to church my whole life, and I've learned a lot about what it means to be a disciple of Christ and to follow my life after Christ. And And, you know, I've gone a whole lot of, you know, trying to do that, but it's putting it into practice. It's actually doing the things that we learned. For me, what this looks like is to set standards and to follow those standards that I set. Standards that I set in relationships with friends, in dating relationships, the standards that I set that I follow them, and also in what I watch, the standards in what I'm going to let my eyes see. Again, just the standards of what I'm going to talk about and what I'm not going to talk about. And again, the music that I listen to. Another thing is getting into God's Word. How are you going to know the direction to go if you're not following the roadmap? And so it's just getting in daily into God's Word for me. It's been a struggle, trying to stay consistent, especially in the busyness. But again, it's being intentional about it. And also spending time with the Father and daily, 10, 15 minutes, just setting down everything and just spending time with the Father and praying in solitude. And it's amazing how much that can affect you. And then also another huge part for me is accountability. I've met once a week with my accountability partner for probably about a year and a half now, and it's incredible in just what that does to me and holding me accountable and the things that I do set the standards for. It's all about creating habits for me, and like I said, I've learned a lot growing up, and it's taken me a long while to create habits and to create things that I do daily. And the things that I found is that you got to be intentional about it. For me, when I think of, like, this is something I need to do, I've got to be intentional about it, and I've got to focus and actually just step out and say, hey, I'm going to do this. Another thing is you got to be persistent. And for me, it's just, you know, there's going to be times in the very beginning stages that it's like, you know, I can do something better with my time, but you got to be persistent in getting it through, and then also dedicated. And when you're finally into it, staying true to it. I've been told that, you know, it takes three weeks to create a habit and just like 3 days to break it. So it's just keeping dedicated to that. I know what I'm sharing is probably nothing new to you. And I know it's not new to me, but it's a good refresher for me. It's a good time to evaluate myself and to evaluate how I'm doing, where I'm at, where I want to be. And so I encourage you guys to do that and think about that. How am I doing? Where do I want to be? Where am I now? In closing, I want to look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. If you want to look at that with me. Second Corinthians 4:18 says, "So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." Rachel Scott figured that out. She took her mind off the troubles that she can see now, and she started looking to the things unseen, the things that will matter, not in this life, but in the next. And her life can attest to that. At her funeral, there were 2,000 people that were at her funeral. And it was also televised on CNN. And it was the most watched event on CNN at that time, even surpassing Princess Diana's funeral. And I can only think and imagine the difference that she made, not in this life, but in the next life, because of her life that was lived and being truly focused on God. The lives that were changed that day were so many. We saw it on the news, but I could only imagine what it would be like to be in there. She focused on not the troubles that she saw now, but she focused on the internal, and the eternal is what we need to focus on. And so what are you focused on right now? Are you focused on the things that, the troubles of the day that'll pass away? Or are you focused on the eternal, the kingdom business, the stuff that's going to last forever? So I challenge you to really seek that out and evaluate yourself on where you're at, and really make this semester dedicated to keeping your focus on God. Thank you.
You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men hide a lamp under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. All right, I need your all's help. Everybody lift up your index finger. You got to help me out with this, okay? Hide it under a bushel. No. Let's try that again. Some of you missed your cue. Okay. Hide it under a bushel. No. Yay! You all went to church growing up. At least some of you did. All right, so how many of you guys got to see the opening ceremonies on TV? Anybody? Olympics? Yeah. They did this really cool light show, and that was one of the things that I really noticed. China, they're great acrobatics, they're good at all this other stuff, but it was light that they chose to do. And I actually got to see the opening ceremonies in a kitchen-type cafeteria area where I was the only American, and I was surrounded by all these Chinese chefs. And it was really great because they would, like, cheer for China. They'd be like, yeah, China! And then they would, like, look at me, and I'd be like, China, yay! So that was my experience. But I got to thinking about light. And we have these devotion books that Dr. Walker, Dr. Owens put together. And they talked about just being torchbearers. How in the Olympics, the torch is such a huge symbol of light and passing it on from one person to another. And how, as our lives, we're supposed to be torchbearers. And there's two things that I really want to say about light. The first one, people are drawn to light. I don't know if you've ever seen like little baby toys that people make. They always have like these little flashing lights because it'll get their attention. And like cats, I don't know if you've ever like tortured a cat with a laser pointer. I know I have. They just like to follow light. And we wonder what the source of light is. The second thing I want to say about light is it's more noticeable in areas of darkness. If you've ever gone caving, I love caving. It's a lot of fun. But when you're out and you're on your way there, if you turn your flashlight on, you're not going to see much of a difference. You go into the cave and turn that same flashlight on, and it might blind somebody if your eyes had already adjusted to the dark. And today our theme, talking about getting out, that's what I really want to challenge you to do. Because there are several things in our lives that can hinder light. My uncle, who's actually here today, makes mirrors. And we're not the source of light. We're a mirror that reflects it. But if you've ever gotten like hairspray or like gunk on your mirror, like it doesn't reflect light as well. And so that's one thing that might be hindering us. But another one that I think is more prevalent for me, for sure, and maybe even for Asbury's campus, is the second point as far as are we getting into areas of darkness? Because Asbury is such a place of light. I mean, people walk in and they know that we're different. And for 4 years, I think it's so cool that we can come together and we can rub off on each other. And when you're around light, it shows you the areas of a little bit of darkness in yourself, so that as iron sharpens iron, we can sharpen each other. But we can't stay bunched up together as light. We have to be going into these dark places. So as some of you know, I got to go to China to work at the MediaCom program, and I have some slides I want to show you of some just neat opportunities of people that I got to be a light. And the neat thing was is the source was God in me. And for some reason, while I was in China, I had this just indispensable amount of joy, and I knew where it came from. And work was really hard, not gonna lie. My boss and I had some issues to get over. You know, she just didn't really like me. And I was used to this Asbury bubble where everybody likes you, and if they don't, they're not gonna tell you otherwise. And to go to an environment that was very cutthroat, very fast-paced, and not one very willing to give mercy was a change for me. But these were the people that I got to work with. I had 6 Chinese liaison officers. I worked in marathon rowing. And the back 2 row are my 2 British bosses, Jane and Charlie. And if you can go on to the next slide. This is Cynthia. One of the really cool things about being a light to people and going out is you don't have to go out and stand up on a little soapbox and be like, this is the Bible, this is this. It doesn't say go out and stand on a, you know, well, you're on a hill, but that's just because of who you are. But it says that you are the light. It's not something that you have to have, like, sirens, like, woo, look at me, listen to me. It's something that you are. And it's built any sort of critical relationship or conversations you can have with people are built on these kind of goofy relationships. Cynthia and I and a couple of the other liaison officers went to the zoo, and this is us pretending to be proud peacocks in front of the peacock cage. And it was really neat because each day I would ride the bus to my venue, and it was an hour commute. And when I first found that out, I was like, this is ridiculous. And I complained to God, because I really wanted to be in the gymnastic venue. And I really wanted, like, some gymnast to, like, get sick and me get a step in. But that didn't happen. But I was at marathon rowing, and I had this long commute. And I was like, okay, God, I'm going to go. But he used these hour-long bus rides every day to get to know these people and to get to have, like, start building relationships and sowing seeds into them. And sometimes the seeds don't necessarily look like a scripture verse. Sometimes it's just caring or asking them how their day was or a question. But those are those building blocks to get to those more critical questions. And if you can go on to the next slide. This is Cynthia showing me her panda face, or panda face, as she would say. She loved pandas. And Nancy, and I called her the storyteller, because every day on the bus, we'd sit together, and she would tell me all these, like, Chinese legends and kung fu stories and all these really crazy romantic stories that were awesome, and then she'd ask me to start telling some legends. Well, like, the only legend I know is, like, the legend of Daniel Boone, and I'm not even sure if it's accurate. So I told her about Daniel Boone and, like, the Tooth Fairy, and I was like, I've got to have something better. And so I realized the oldest stories I knew were from Scripture, and it was just such a part of me. And so I started telling her Bible stories every day on the way to work. I told her the story of Esther and some other stories. And I'd ask her questions and say, well, does the Chinese culture have any sort of story about how the earth was created? And she'd say, oh yeah, we believe the strong man, he comes and he separates light and dark and he pushes the sea and the sky away, and then he takes mud and he forms a sculpture and it looks like a man, and he breathes. Yes, he breathes on it, and it comes to life. And I'm like, wow, where have I heard that before? So I had my Bible with me, and I pull out my Bible, and I'm like, Nancy, I was like, do you mind if I read you something? I mean, if not, it's okay. I was like, but it's just really, it's right along with what you're saying. Oh, yeah, okay. So I read her Genesis 1, and she's, oh, this is very interesting. This is very interesting. Oh. So it was just these daily, just things that came up. People were asking me questions. It wasn't like I was bringing my Bible on the bus and, like, standing up on the seats or singing hymns on the way there. Next slide, please. This is Colin. And at one point, I made some comment that he evidently thought was wise. And he said, oh, can you write down wise sayings for me? And I was like, why, Colin, I don't know if I know any wise sayings. He's like, well, how about from your Bible? And I was like, oh, yeah. And so he was like, why don't you write some down for me? And because I want to go to America, and I have to know what you guys think and what's important. So you write down the most important. I was like, oh, wow, like, that's not a task. Summarize the Bible in 4 verses. So I made a list of verses for him, and I actually went online to go to BibleGateway.com to show him how you can go see Proverbs of the Day and different scriptures there. But we were in China, and it wouldn't access. There was an error. So it's kind of interesting because China is one of the leading producers of Bibles, but most of them haven't seen them or don't know what they are. So sometimes I would just be reading on the way on the bus quietly, and random people would come up to me and say, oh, is that a Bible? I said, yeah, and I'd let them look at it. So even just little things like that cause you to be different. And coming from an area that's, first of all, so accustomed to, you know, I mean, everybody in the States has seen a Bible, but coming from this, where everybody can almost quote half of the Bible, to an area where people don't know it, was such a change of light to dark. So next slide, please. These are my runner friends. I helped get statistics out every day to the commentators, and these were the runners who would like really quickly run in with all their results, and I'd have to like sign for them, and they go, oh, results, summaries, and I like sign and give them to them. But God told me to make it a point to get to know each one of them. And so I would ask them a different question every time they came in, or learn to get, like, try to know their names or pronounce their Chinese names, which was very difficult for me. And sometimes I'd write a smiley face when I'd sign it or do something goofy like that. But they started calling me the happy American in the bio office. And they would ask me, why are you happy? You are always happy. Why are you happy? And there was one day, actually, that my boss and I, things were not going well. I was trying hard, but, you know, sometimes people are attracted to light, but they don't necessarily like it. And I was learning some hard lessons about having tough skin, but a tender heart. And it was a rough day, but the Lord was helping to give me an underlying joy. And they came up to me and they were like, why are you still happy? And I was able to explain to them, you know what, guys? There's only one reason I'm still happy. And I was able to point them to the source of the light that was in me. Let's go on to the next slide. This is, what is his name? That's Tim Shute. He was a university student that we met at McDonald's, and he went touring with us for a day. And this is actually at the Lama Temple, which they have this six-story statue, like gold statue of Buddha at this temple. And there are people that are there like worshiping and burning incense when you come. And it's very oppressive. The minute you walk in, you feel it. But Tim and I got to talking about the Chronicles of Narnia, because they've seen like every Western movie you can imagine, more than I've seen. But we got to talking about Chronicles of Narnia and just religion and faith and relationships. And it was neat to be able to use something he'd heard of and say, okay, so Aslan. And to be able to, you know, Paul talks about becoming all things to all men so that by all possible means we might save some. And it was neat to be able to use Chronicles of Narnia. Let's go on to the next one. The next three slides are some pictures of some beautiful orphans. We went to New Day, which is a foster home that takes care of these orphans, if you guys know. David Brenneman, his aunt and uncle, helped found it. And you can go on to the next slide. We got to help make a promo video for them. This is Ben. He's adorable. And go on to the next one. And this is probably my favorite orphan of all, because, get this, her name is Annie. I love that. But it was neat to go there and be Jesus with skin on and be that physical touch of love and joy to them. And it definitely came back to us as well. So basically, it was cool to go to a place of complete darkness and to allow people to see the light shining through. I just want to kind of conclude with a journal entry. We had to keep a journal over there, of some things that I noticed. When I first arrived in China, I was ready to lead the whole nation to the Lord by storm. I was actually a little disappointed when I found out China didn't need anyone to smuggle Bibles in anymore, because I wanted to do something big for God. The only problem is that since I'm in a communist country that is somewhat hostile to Christianity, and I can't get sent home until I've at least made enough money to pay for my plane ticket, I have to be careful. So I began to pray that God would open doors for me to share my faith with people in one-on-one settings. And God has opened doors in ways that I wasn't expecting. What I'm learning is that a city on a hill cannot be hidden. You don't have to bring out the flashing lights and the sirens to make an announcement. Hey, look at me, I'm a Christian. But simply living your life in relationship with Jesus Christ will cause you to shine in dark places. In fact, I found that I've not been able to hide my faith from commentators on the bus, BOB employees, and random people at the IBC, which is the International Broadcast Center. People will come up to me and ask, why are you happy? Or what's that book you're reading? Or why don't you want to come out drinking with us? Honestly, I couldn't hide my faith if I wanted to. And occasionally, I have wanted to, because it can be challenging to be weird. So it might not be as exciting or as glamorous as smuggling Bibles, but I've enjoyed each open door that God has led me through. And the key is in staying focused on Jesus so that you will see the opportunities to share your faith when they come. So today, as we talk about staying focused and going out, The only way we can be a light and make a difference in going out is by staying focused on our Savior. And if you just pray with me. Father God, we just love you. I love that you're everywhere, God. Wherever we go, you're working and you're doing things in people's lives. And God, I ask this semester that you would help us all to stay focused. God, you know how just ADHD spiritually we can be. God, I ask that you would teach us, Holy Spirit, to just peel out those things that we don't need to focus on and put our attention on you, God. And God, I just ask that you would help us to be a light, God. If there are things in our lives that are blocking that light, God, that are just making that mirror mucky and nasty so it won't reflect light, God, I ask that you would clean them out quickly, God. And you would show us areas of darkness, Lord. Show us, even now, God, help us to get into practice while we're here, finding those places of darkness and moving out into them, Lord. And go with us today. Help us to be lights to each other and to go out from here and do your will, Lord. In your name, amen.